Blog Talk Radio.
Why must we feel our futures so uncertain? Why must we feel our presence is a burden? Living day to day of crumbs from the table, this dependency must end. I know that we are able to build a life.
Independence.
I try to loosen you up with a little humor sometimes. Yes. Yes, so the liquid nature will always support our life evolving, growing, and progressing, the good nature. But if that nature can be regressed and corrupted or confused by a manipulator, even if it's the culture manipulating that behavior, that nature, then you can lose everything good and find it very difficult to have just a normal, decent life that a dog would have, or a pigeon would have, or whatever. You don't find them shooting each other up with drugs, killing each other over pennies. Carrying out their rudeness against each other. You don't see that. All those animals out there. And look, we don't hear any fighting going on.
Right.
We in here, the windows open back there. We don't hear any fighting going on. There's thousands, millions of animals out there. You get that many of us together? Oh, my goodness. That's because we have strayed from our original nature. But the nation of Islam is teaching us about the original man and the original nature. It was saying that the original nature is good. That's what the nation of Islam was saying. When it was teaching us to be our own self. And that teaching us that we were the original man. It was telling us that God, the nature God made is good. The original nature is good. And if you keep to it, you'll be all
right.
There's nothing created by God that hasn't been created to follow the spirit and urges in its life or in its nature for improvement. Life progresses until something happens to confuse life. Then life regresses. But life is progressive.
Right.
This is science, not only religion. This is science. Life is progressive. Everything existing once existed in a worse form for survival than it has now, including man. Did you hear that? I hope you did. Everything in existence, living things, once had a worse life for survival than it has now.
Right.
It has adapted to situations and has improved its life, has found improvement for its life, betterment for its life for certain circumstances so that it could take advantage of those circumstances and exist better and make progress for its life form.
Right.
Yes. When Allah tells us about our life form, what he does, he goes back to the life germ. And he shows us how the life germ became a complex, marvelous creature, a human being.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
From a clot or from blood adhering. And then a fetus lump and bones structuring it. Huh? It went stage by stage to get to this marvelous creature that's standing erect. We call the human being Homo erectus. Hmm? Yes. This is what Allah shows us. Allah shows us that to tell us that He created our life to be progressive.
Right.
Not regressive. Progressive. And if we stay with the line of progress for life, we will continue to progress. It's hot out there, but it's been so hot I'm getting used to it. Yeah, I see. reading was 94, just a few minutes ago, 94. But it doesn't feel that bad after you get used to it. You get used to 98 and 100. 94 is cooler.
Yes, sir.
Well, we're glad to see you here today. Glad you could make it here today and be here today. Out here in the suburbs, it's not too easy. If you don't have a car, it's not too easy to get out here. But they have the Pace bus. They have a way. And if you love each other, you'll find out the brothers coming from your area here with a car. You don't have one? Ride with him.
Yes, sir.
If he invites you to. Remember, these are not the good days that you read in Scripture. First day was good. Second day good. Third day good. Fourth day good. Fifth day is all good. Sixth day is all good. Seventh day, God completed his all good works. No, it ain't like that now. You have somebody for the Hellraiser 2 and 3 and 4. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Might be the driver.
That's right.
All the passengers. You're sitting in the wrong place. Imam Sultan, you're supposed to be sitting here. We can't change things. We have to, once I establish the order, it's got to stay that way. Now, the brother there, if he's on security, that's fine. And he better secure you just like he's securing me. Praise be to Allah. The landlord is not the boss here. When I come here, I'm the boss. If the landlord ain't pleased with that, we have to get another plate. I'm gonna fight him. I'll just get another plate. Yeah, you know, back in the Nation of Islam days, oh boy, you had everybody fighting to get into the photo. And the photo, what they want, the photo had to have them standing on near the rostrum with Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, he's standing here and there is God. They're standing there. But you would be standing behind him peeping over him, you know. They make sure you see them. If they're standing there. Or somewhere in the front, you know, it's got to be seen. That Negro is, oh, he's messed up. Slavery really messed him up. Slavery took his dignity away. Slavery took his freedom away. Slavery took his pride away. Made him nothing, below nothing. So every time he get a chance to get in a position to show himself as something, Reverend Dexter Jackson, he doesn't know. He messed up and he said, I am somebody. He didn't have to tell a black man that. He's always trying to get somebody to see that he is somebody. He'll buy an expensive car and lose his house, can't pay his mortgage, but he'll buy that expensive car, to say, I'm somebody. Yeah. He'll risk getting killed on the streets, selling drugs and robbing people.
That's right.
So he can have money and dress and say, I am somebody.
Right.
We don't need anybody to boost us up there. We need to sober that spirit. I don't know how many of my students I have here. How many of my students? My students, I mean students that come to my classes, my Sunday classes. Okay. Okay, we have a few. Not too many. Whenever you know I'm going to speak, students, you should be here.
That's
right. So you tell the rest of them, it ain't my fault that they're going to miss out today. It's their fault. The Quran mentions the three main formations of personality in the soul, for the soul. It has them in the Quran as nafs al-amara, nafs al-lawama, and nafs al-mu'minna, mu'minna. And Ibrahim in the Quran, Abraham, he is identified as achieving or being nafs al-mutma'inna, nafs al-mutma'inna. And in English, nafs al-mutma'inna is given in translation Quran as the self that is pleased, at peace with God, at peace with himself, at peace with himself and at peace with his God, his creator. Nafs al-mutma'inna, the tranquil self, the peaceful self, the satisfied self. He had become satisfied with himself, his own person. And he had become pleasing to his creator, satisfying before his creator also. This is the best formation in the soul for our self or identity. But it is necessary to have the other two also. The other two. Nafs al-lawwama means the self that tends to be critical, to find fault, find errors, find defects in things. That's good too. Allah wouldn't have made it if it wasn't good. It's good. Even the nafs al-mutma'inna has to be able to examine things, question things, and find fault. And that's exactly what Abraham did. He found fault with his father's idol worship. He found fault with the prevailing opinion or perception of the world of reality. Matter, earth, life, nature, the skies, the planets, etc. He found fault with their perception of reality. And he questioned it, and he examined it with his own rational brain, mind. And he came to the conclusion that none of those things were God. They all failed his idea or opinion of what should be his God. As the story goes, you've heard it many times, you know, he finally rejected everything. He rejected the stars. He rejected the sun. Even the sun, when it came up, he was impressed by it, but he couldn't accept it as God when it set. When it set, he said, my God is not one to set. God undergoes no change. That's the idea that his search led him to. That God cannot be perishable and undergo change or changes like the material reality or existence. So he decided that the one who designed the material worlds to follow their laws is God. But God is not of that nature. And he became the father, the second father of all nations, second father of mankind. God honored him so to make him the second father of all mankind, Abraham. And his nafs was mutma'inna. He had an urge in his nafs. He wouldn't be satisfied until he was pleased with his own soul in light of his own intelligence. He wouldn't be satisfied until he was pleased with himself before God. Or God pleased with him, accepting him also. His intelligence would not stop until he arrived there. Abraham. So he's the father of education, father of teaching and education.
Right.
Abraham. Yes? Our first father, Adam, is the father of human nature and industry. Labor, work, construction, industry. Adam. And then Abraham is the father of the learning process we call education that takes us all the way to colleges and universities.
Yeah.
The followers of Muhammad had this knowledge, and some of them do today all over the world. There are a few all over the world that have the knowledge I'm sharing with you right now. But it was exciting for those minds that had been stagnant, that had been out of touch with the world, that God created the mind to engage
right.
the natural world. When they were turned on by the revelation, the Quran, and Muhammad's leadership, prayers and peace be on him, oh, they became so active mentally. Their mental curiosities were jumping. And within the life of a man, within the life of one generation, they had established colleges or universities that still exist.
That's right. That's
yes. Even in Africa, Timbuktu, Fez, Morocco, Timbuktu, heart of Africa.
Hmm?
Yes. This is reality.
Right.
This is real history.
Yes,
not guesswork. This is reality. We say Salaam Alaikum. How many of us understand what we're saying? Very few. Maybe none here. Maybe some. Maybe none. Maybe one or two in the whole of Illinois. Who knows?
Yes, sir.
Understand what we're really saying when we say Salaam Alaikum. Peace be on you. And talking to one person or many. Which is incorrect grammar, you know that. To speak to one person and call that one person kum. That one person is not kum. That by grammar, by the rules of grammar, that person is cat, not kum.
That's right.
Cat means one. Or ki, female. Ki means one. Kum means many. But it's still correct. How is it correct? It's correct by reasoning upon eye-opening logic of revelation.
Yes, sir.
Not grammar, revelation. But also when we study history, we find that a king will be addressed as though he's many, not one person.
That's right.
In Arabic language and any other language. Sometimes they address the king as in the plural, as though he's more many people, not one. Why? Because the office of that person is more important than the physical life of that person.
Right.
The office of that person has to be respected.
Right.
And that person has people performing with him and in support of him as though they were his own physical life.
Right.
Where do we have that in history? David, in scriptural history. David's men said to him, "We are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh."
Right.
Meant that they identified in his physical person. telling him you will find no difference among us. We won't differ with you. You'll find us not disagreeing with you. O king, do your bones disagree with you?
Yes, sir.
Do your flesh disagree with you? Well, depend on our bones and our flesh as though our bones and our flesh were your bones and your flesh. Because in our mind, we see ourselves as one. That's some powerful unity, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Do you think it's any different for Muslims?
No.
The life of the Muslim is as the life of the body of a human being. That's what Muhammad said. That's his saying. I just gave it to you. And I'm sure many of you heard it before. The life of the Muslims is as one single human body.
That's right. Yes, sir.
So when the Prophet had us greet each other like that, he was just carrying forward the best tradition of the people.
Yes.
They had already had that idea. That the man or the person who has the concerns of the people at heart more and cares more about that interest than he does his own personal life, then they see in that person the plural body,
yes,
not just one person.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
And I heard a learned Muslim sheikh from abroad. He said, Abraham is a community.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Yes, sir.
Not a person.
Right.
He said Abraham is a community.
Mm-hmm.
And he said Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he started talking about something else.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
But he planted the seed.
Yes, he did.
He planted the seed. Now we know they were individuals, but in their interests, they were a plural body.
Yes.
In their interests, they were the community that Allah wanted to establish.
Yes,
they had that in their concern, in their interest, in their mind, in their heart, in their spirit, in their complete life.
Right.
Therefore, they could easily and correctly be pictured as a depiction of the ideal community.
Right.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Adam was a community.
Correct.
And I can prove it with the Bible to anyone who wants to have it proven. But it's hot today. I charge you $1,000 a minute. $1,000 a minute for my time to take the Bible and prove it to you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You got $1,000 to pay me a minute. And I won't prolong the time. I'll hurry with it. But it'll cost you $1,000 a minute. And I'll prove it to you in the Bible that Adam is a community, not just one flesh and blood person.
Yes, sir.
No. The more important thing is not to see him as one flesh and blood person, but to see him as a type of the ideal community.
That's right.
That God is evolving.
That's right.
Yes?
That's right.
Christ Jesus, not a person, a depiction of the ideal community.
That's right.
That God is evolving.
That's right.
What value do they have as a person? What value do I have to you? As a flesh and blood person only.
Come on.
A guy gray and hair is going away, losing his hair, and lost a lot of his teeth already. Wonderful teeth job, tooth job though, dental job. Looks pretty good, you know, to me. Sometimes I have to snatch my eyes away from the mirror, I get banged a little bit. This is nothing. What I'm devoted to is something.
Yes, sir. All right, sir.
Not this.
That's it.
How does a religious establishment relate these things to the public, or to their publics, to their congregation? They put the emphasis on the person, not on what the person personifies or represents as a picture. No. They put the emphasis on the person. And then they compete with each other.
Yes.
Okay. The cross and the crescent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You all have Jesus. He's Superman. And we have Muhammad.
Yeah.
He's Superman, Superman.
Yes, sir. Come
and
on.
They say, Christ is Superman. We say, the Muslim replied, Muhammad is Superman. Missing the correct picture.
Yes.
Missing the correct picture. So Muhammad said, in the end, they will see Christ and him, me together.
That's right.
Christ and Muhammad together. They're going to have us divided against one another. But it's going to finally be solved and settled, and they will see Muhammad and Christ Jesus together.
All right, yes, right. Very
good. And he taught us the prophets are brotherhood, like the Muslims are brotherhood. The prophets are brotherhood.
That's right. They are.
Yes. They are together, not against one another. So when we say kum, we're addressing the one person as though that one person was all of us.
Right.
Isn't that scripture?
Yes,
you who have read scripture and studied scripture as students, you will remember that's what scripture says. So Allah says in the Quran, your life and your death is as the life and death of one person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yes, sir.
That one person is the model of perception. Is a one person picture, but that one person picture represents the plural life and nature Allah wants for all of us.
Yes.
Collective soul. Praise be to Allah. And Muhammad so perfectly represented that Allah says of him that you will certainly find in him uswatan hasanatan. You will find in him the most excellent model for any who believes in God in the last day.
Right.
Why is it said like that? Because some people believe in God, but they can't be depended on to acknowledge or represent good nature and good behavior or model human life. No, they can't be depended on to respect that.
Right.
Though they have faith, and they do have faith in God.
Yes.
They have faith in God, but they haven't reasoned and brought the two together that faith requires proof. And the proof of my faith is what? My accountability.
Right.
To that God.
That's right.
So I say I have strong faith in God. Let's see if your life demonstrates that you are accountable to that God.
Sir, come on.
Do you follow his commandments?
Yes, sir.
Do you live honorably and honor those that God say honor?
Yes, sir.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
So if the life doesn't verify that, if the life doesn't support that or affirm that, then you have faith, but you don't have accountability. So you're not having faith and also believing in the last day. The last day means you're going to have to answer before the originator of the heavens and earth, before the Lord that created this world and you, or brought you out of this world that he created, or set up laws to bring you out of this world that he created. Yes? A lot of us, we just hear these words and they don't contribute much to our thinking and our life. Believe in God and believe in the last day. We think believe in the last day, believe I'm going to die and be resurrected. Always self-centered. Always worried about yourself. The last day got much more to do with the with important matters than that.
That's correct, sir.
The last day is addressing a behavioral trend in man's society that ignores reality.
Right.
Gives itself to corruption to increase the wealth of the merchants. It addresses that and says that that can't stay forever. That's not going to last.
That's right.
The communist people were not too far off when they said religion, the communists who authors of communism, when they said that religion is the opium for the masses, drugs for the common people. They weren't far off. They want to keep you happy, keep you feeling good.
Yes.
With music, song, dance, all in the church, all worship.
That's it.
Music, song, and dance. Keep you happy. Get you so ecstatic you fall out.
Yeah.
So ecstatic you fall out.
Yeah.
Drunk with joy.
That's it. That's it.
Kicking like a person dying.
Yeah.
My wife, boy.
Get up and can't hardly hold their balance.
Yes. Right.
Staggering around.
Yes.
Sounds like opium to me.
Right.
Or something worse.
That's right.
And we tolerate it. I mean, we the intelligent ones, thinking ones, we tolerate it. Get all nervous, stiff. When you hear me talk like this.
Come on.
Oh, yeah, buddy, man.
Come on, brother.
Why don't he leave those things alone?
Come on with it.
Yes, come on. Yeah, your disposition of mind would have kept us in physical bondage forever.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
If you don't care about freeing the intelligence of our poor performing race,
yes, sir,
on this planet,
come on,
then you would be one that wouldn't care about taking the chains off either during the plantation slavery. You've got to wake up.
Sir.
You don't know the wrong you're doing.
That's right. Come on.
When we read from in the Quran the words like these from Allah Most High, Alam Nashra Laka Sadrak, did not we enlarge for you your chest?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Why your breast or your chest? Why wanted to enlarge it? Why? What it means? Do you think it was physically pressed out like that? No.
Oh, sir. Come on.
It's metaphorical language.
Yes.
Symbolic language that needs understanding, needs translation.
That's correct. Come on.
And all you have to do is go to college and take literature.
That's right.
English 102.
That's right.
And you'll have the tools for understanding this.
That's right.
When I first became you all the leader, it wasn't long before after I was in the leadership, I told you, we are shaming this religion. The Islam that we have in mind is just too small.
Yes, that's right.
It shames,
that's right,
the real Islam.
Yeah.
That you have to grow your intelligence, grow your mind, acquire more knowledge.
Yes.
Become educated,
yes,
in a true sense.
Yes, sir.
Respecting nature and science.
Yes.
Mother Nature and science.
Yes.
In order to do respect to this religion.
That's right.
Give respect to this religion. This right. religion was made to be enough. And I'm giving it to you from Quran and Muhammad, peace be on him. This religion was made to be enough for all levels
That's correct.
Of society.
That's
correct?
Yes.
Right. The highest level of society, academically speaking or in any other way, has all it needs.
Yes, come on.
For its capacity and for the development or freeing of its potential.
That's right.
From Quran and Muhammad.
That's right.
Can serve them forever.
Right.
Oh, yes. Can take a uneducated person,
sir,
like my father, Elijah Muhammad,
right,
and like me, his son, and educate that person,
yes, sir,
so that that person will make the highest in academia.
Right.
Swoon.
Yes, sir.
When they hear him speak. Swoon.
Yes, sir. That's a fact.
Yes, sir.
I've been among them. I know what they do. They swoon.
That's, yes, that's right.
That's right.
I gave just a talk. I don't just talk to them like I talk to you. You are Muslims, and I'm supposed to give my brothers more than I give others. And I do. And I do. Much more.
Right.
But you heard the expression, a hint to the wise is sufficient?
Yes,
that's it.
I was speaking, I'm not one that wants credit. I'm not comfortable with people praising me. That's not my nature. And when I finish lecturing to their exclusive gathering, one of them, an African-American, wasn't many African-Americans, just a fair few, maybe one-tenth of them, one-fifth was African-American. They were not African-Americans. He came to the mic while I was still there, and he said, Doctor, that's the way he said it.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Doctor.
Yes, sir.
That's right. W. Dean Muhammad.
That's right.
I said, no. I said, I don't have any college degrees. I'm not a doctor. And I was at the mic so they could hear me like they were hearing him. You know what he said? He said, don't you think doctors ought to know a doctor when they see one? His exact word. And he wasn't a Muslim. Islamic sources were coming out of me. Huh? Islamic sources were coming out of me into their ears and into their hearts.
Right.
And a hint to the wise. So when Allah says that he opened the breast, opened the chest of Muhammad, expanded it, caused it to be bigger, he meant he made it big enough to house mankind. Big enough to house mankind. His soul was so pure and genuine,
yeah, right,
that he opened his heart to the whole of mankind. All people.
That's right.
Yes. Then and now.
Right.
And for time to come, he has opened his heart. There's rooms waiting for all that will be born. He was a model human life that God wants on this planet Earth.
Right. Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. And he said one day we'll see him and Jesus Christ together.
Right.
Jesus Christ came to say the same thing.
That's right. That's right.
That I'm the model life that God wants on this planet Earth for mankind and societies of human beings to emulate. It's goodness, it's righteousness, it's charity, it's love, etc. That God had created him and opened his heart to the whole of humanity, for the whole of humanity. Both of them are signs of that. And they represent what? They represent the common human life of excellence.
That's correct.
That's what they represent. That's why both of them said, I am only a likeness of you in your best mold.
That's right.
Hmm?
That's right.
Yes. Jesus Christ said it to his people, I'm only a likeness of you in your best mold.
Right.
Muhammad the prophet came and reverberated it, said it again, restated it.
Yes.
I'm only a likeness of you in your best mold.
Yes, sir.
Best behavioral mode. Hmm? Christ said, I in you and you in me. Hmm?
That's right. Good.
And the Christian congregation, they believe in that Christ is in every person.
Right.
Christ is in every person. And if we understand Islam, Islam is the answer to that and saying that, yes, God created us and made us Muslim.
Yes.
By nature.
Yes.
So the Christ nature in the Muslim is his Muslim nature.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Then one God made all of it. One people were led to identify it as Christ.
That's right.
Life, a Christ model life.
Sir.
And the Muslims were educated in Islam to know it as the Muslim model life.
That's right.
So you're looking for a certain picture with a long beard?
Come on, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Well, American Indian got Muslim nature too.
Yes.
The first people on this continent, the earliest people on this continent, we call the Indians. They got the Muslim nature too.
That's right.
They got the Christ nature too. Muslim nature, Christ nature, same.
That's right.
They got it too. And if they would sit in my hearing, within my hearing long enough, some of them would become Muslim.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yes, they would.
Yeah.
They would love what they would be hearing, and they would accept it inside their souls and act upon it and become Muslim.
Yes.
Become Muslim in their behavior and in their expressions. Their life will blossom. Hmm?
Yes, sir.
From a dead seed. Yes. The life would take life in the right environment.
Right.
And shoot up straight.
That's right.
Spread out in a beautiful symmetry.
Yes.
Allah.
Yes.
And show itself Muslim.
Yes. That's right.
Hmm?
Yes.
Some of them have already converted.
That's right.
Now some of them have heard my voice, have
right.
converted. American Indian. And some have heard the voices of other imams from outside of this community. And they have become Muslim.
Right.
Yes. When you become Muslim, you witness.
Yes.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I witness that there is but the God, one God, Allah.
That's right.
And I witness that Muhammad is a messenger of God.
That's right.
Rasulullah. Hmm?
That's right.
That's what we say.
Yes, sir.
And we say we witness to that. A witness is a person that has some knowledge on the matter. Otherwise, how can he be a witness? Or how can she be a witness? You don't have any knowledge on the subject? You have no knowledge on the matter in this under discussion? How can you be a witness? You can't be a witness. But God made you human. God made you Muslim. And the word of God can wake you up to that reality, that fact. And when it wakes you up, it shouldn't be the mind the world gave you testifying.
That's right.
It should be your own original good nature
yes.
testifying.
That's right. All right.
Saying, yes, I witness that this is the truth.
Yes.
This is real.
Yes.
This is real for me.
Right.
Muhammad is the man that my soul wants to see face to face so that my own perception of myself will be pleased. That God did not create me a sinner, bring me into in the world with original sin on me.
That's right.
That God did not do that to me.
That's right.
That God made me honorable.
Yes, that's right.
I came into this world right.
Yes.
Innocent.
Yes.
And Muhammad is teaching that, and I bear witness that there is no God but God, and no, and Muhammad is his messenger.
That's right.
No unnatural foreign human is his messenger. No, the natural, true human is his message.
That's it.
You don't have to shed off the original garment that God gave you for your nature and take on angelic nature. No, God made the human to be above the angel.
Come on.
For his creation's sake.
Right.
Oh yes.
Right.
Oh yes. They exposed the names to the angels. Said, okay, angels, tell me these names if you know.
Yes, that's right.
And they couldn't do it.
That's right.
Then God told Adam, the man, the first man, the first model of the human that he wants to put on this earth, establish on his earth.
That's right.
And he said to Adam, tell them their name.
That's right.
Now God wouldn't tell Adam to do it if he couldn't do it.
That's right.
Then the lady says, and he taught him the names of all the things. Huh?
Right.
Praise be to God. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Most of the people on this earth has an identity crisis. Big identity problem. You just named the race. I don't want to name any of them. So I don't want to hurt their feelings. And I don't want you to go out and make trouble for me.
Go ahead, buddy. Man.
At my expense. If you would do it only at your expense, it'd be all right. Yes, identity problem. And it can be solved so easily. So Allah tells us our identity. You all are from Adam.
That's correct.
One man.
That's right.
You all are from Adam, who represent the universal human type, the universal human life.
That's right.
In its excellence that God made, of God made life, human life for, Adam. But Allah doesn't leave it just there, as you all are made from Adam, because we know some of these religious theologies, they say Adam, when he was first put in the garden, he was a bright light. He was illuminated,
that's right,
like a shining star.
That's right.
That can swell your head, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Telling you that that's where you came from.
Yes,
that's right.
So Allah says both. He says, you all are from Adam, and Adam was from dust.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
And Adam was from dust. So you want to blow up your ego? You want to inflate it? Know also that you came from dust.
That's right.
You were nothing.
That's right.
Nothing to be counted as a value or anything.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Farmer doesn't want dust.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he's a peanut farmer, he doesn't want dust.
That's right.
Right. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, you got it, brother. Dust can't even hold its position.
That's it. That's right.
Dust can't stay home.
That's it.
The little air, the slightest breeze come along,
yeah,
and dust starts moving up. with the breeze. That sounds like a Negro to me. Not all of them, but it sounds like some Negroes I've been looking at. The least little influence from the culture or from the fashions or from the music or whatever, just blow him right off of his establishment. If the establishment was the good teaching of his mama and dad, blew him right off of it.
Yes,
huh?
Yes,
so if we all identify in the collective life, the collective body, the collective mold, the collective spirit, the collective soul, that Allah reveals and say that all of you are one in that. I made you one life. I made you one spirit.
That's right.
But the world gives you many spirits and invites you to many lifestyles.
That's right.
But if you just hold on to what I revealed you for you, showing you your true self, in the collective life, you'll be able to withstand these winds,
right,
storms,
yes,
that blow your dust away.
There it is.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Reduce you to dust again and blow you away. So we have to come from this hang-up with individualism.
Yes, right.
Individualism.
Yes.
You're looking for an individual to be your God. Or you want to be the God for us in your individuality.
Yes, sir.
Got to come from that.
That's right.
That's the trick of the Satan.
Yes, sir.
To break man's life up and make man see himself as a whole while he's a fraction.
Mm-hmm.
A small fraction at that, like a dust speck.
Yes, sir.
To see the life that is truly human as God intended it to be is to see oneself.
That's right.
Reasoning correctly, human life is thoughtful. Thoughtful life.
Yes, sir.
As a man thinketh, so is he. The language of the philosopher. As a man thinketh in his heart.
Yes.
New Testament. Think, for surely thinking brings profit.
Yeah.
Increase you.
That's right.
In value.
That's right.
That's Muhammad's teaching and teaching of the Quran and Muhammad.
That's right.
Thoughts forming in important concerns are more united and more tenacious.
That's right.
You think, keep your thoughts can't hold together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Ah, you can't find unity for your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find unity of thought and perception.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You can't find the consistent logic to connect all the thoughts together and hold them together in a unity forever.
Yes, sir.
You can't find it because you're thinking too light.
Okay.
And I don't mean like the light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean like a feather.
Right.
You're thinking too light or like dust.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
To test the purity and strength of each other.
Yes.
And in their wrestling with each other, they develop more strength.
Yes. Okay.
To throw away more impurity.
That's it.
Huh?
Yes, sir. Come on.
But they stay together for the goal.
Yeah. My wife, Bob.
For the end.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir. Come on.
They have an end that they're trying to reach.
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Rightly reasoning, well, let me go back a little bit. A poor person, Take a poor person. A poor person can have a big life. Doesn't have to be rich to have a great big life.
That's right.
A great and big life. Poor person in this material world can have a big life. And many of us do.
Right.
We know we're not small in our life.
Yes.
We're not small in our thinking.
Right.
We don't have the riches. We're catching the city transportation.
Yes.
We can't afford a car. But we know we're not dust.
That's right.
We know we're not a speck of dust.
That's right.
We know we have evolved much higher than that. We know a lot of those guys riding in those beautiful fancy cars are nothing but dust specks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's right.
All right,
brother. Rightly reasoning, the person, the mind, is as big as the thoughtful concerns that are carried by the human heart.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, concerns. You know, we can have thoughts, but not be really that concerned.
Right.
But if we have the thought of the right gravity, thought of the right richness or value,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, now we're going to have some real concerns.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Concerns for caring for those thoughts. Concerns for responding to those thoughts. Concerns for expressing those thoughts.
Yes. Okay.
So that those thoughts will live after I'm gone.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
Nothing desired, no concerns.
That's right.
You don't want anything? You don't have any concerns? Man is mine.
Yes,
mine is life.
Yes.
Mine is thought and thoughtfulness.
That's right.
No concerns, no mind.
Right.
No mind, no life.
Right.
Concerns without devotion is like sleeping life.
Mm.
You're sleeping through life.
Yeah.
No devotions.
That's right.
Just sleeping through life. A mind without desires is a dead person.
Yes, sir. It's a fact.
No desire, you're dead.
That's right.
A mind without thoughts of his own. A mind without thoughts of his own.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Is not one's own mind.
That's it. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Allah says of the Quran, what is it? It is many things. It's guidance. It's a little many things. But it's also healing.
That's right.
For what is sick in the breast.
That's right.
For what is sick in your heart.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Healing for what ails the heart. I love this expression. Mukhlisina lahuddin. Mukhlisina lahuddin. We are those that follow logic to its right conclusion. And for God is religion.
Yes. Yes.
When the communists made the big criticism of the popular religious life of the people, what were they saying with that criticism? That religion is a trap.
That's right.
To keep the masses of the people out of production.
That's correct.
Out of wealth, production and wealth. To keep them out. Keep them satisfied. Your natural appetite for pleasure, for happiness, is in you to express itself through creation.
That's right.
Through creation.
That's correct.
You are to be the mate of creation. Your intelligence is supposed to mate with creation. Allah made you to be the husband of creation.
That's correct.
Your wife.
Yes.
Then he said that the world is the tilt?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Like the wife?
Yes.
And you have to go there and start plowing it?
Yes. Oh, that's right. Come on.
And bring out its potential?
Yes, sir.
Bring out its goods?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
That's a bigger act than going to bed tonight in the hotel.
Wow.
Don't you think so, brother?
Yes.
That'll make you a white man, a big white man overnight. You won't see a Negro. You look in the mirror and you say, oh. Hey, who is that rich Frenchman? For God is religion. That's an indictment of the world. That the world has presented religion in a corrupt form.
That's right.
So that the masses of people will be the slaves of the business bosses.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. So religion is not for God. Religion is ordered to enrich the wealth seekers.
That's right.
By diverting you from the fields of cultivation, science, and all the other fields of cultivation.
Right.
Divert you from those fields and keep you satisfied. You stay on a little piece of land.
Yes.
About 2 or 3 blocks long. And you live there and you die there.
That's right.
You go to the stores around there and very seldom go out of the neighborhood.
Right.
You live and die there. Yeah. But your habit was, if it's not the same, now your habit was to go to church on Sunday and feel good.
Yeah.
For the rest of the week.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Get a quickie. Charge for the rest of the week.
Yes,
that's right.
Yeah. Same old merry-go-round. Until you're dead.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Until you're dead, you die. Nameless.
Yes.
Nobody. The shame.
Yes, right.
We're going to defeat it.
Yes.
That's right.
That's right.
I don't know how long it's going to take, but I know for sure we are going to defeat it.
Yes.
We got God's light.
Yes.
And we've made it into a mighty sword.
Yes. Right.
And it can split a missile in half.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
It'll split a missile in half.
Yes.
It'll destroy any weapon they got.
That's right.
If they want to use it against God's plan.
Mukhlisina
lahu din walau kariha al-kafirun. We are those that follow the logic to its conclusion.
That's right.
Religion is for God.
Yeah, right.
And we don't care if the rejectors of faith don't like it.
That's right.
That's what I just said to you in Arabic. Yeah. But I gave it to you in plain old Wallace language in your language, bro.
Come on, brother.
Now, continuing on that idea we were exploring. Reasoning correctly, thoughts belong to the mind caring for those thoughts and attending those thoughts. No responsibility for what is considered to be one's thoughts, no thoughts of one's own, no mind of one's own, no life of one's own.
That's right.
All right, everybody, listen. The propagators, they have a question to ask. Here it goes.
Are you?
Who are you?
African American, you say you're a Malalian. Well, white supremacy was mean. One hell of a machine kept you dormant in your grave. But you rose up and fought. Seems like no results were born from the battle that you waged to kick the so-called white man out. But now he's gone. Who you gonna blame it on? Whitey, 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 you still shout. It's time to grow now. It's time to grow, cause this is a new day. But how you gon' grow? When corruption caused you to move slow, you gotta pluck the weeds away. You got to plow your field before you plant your crop. The wise farmer, he knows how to set a pit stop. Look, aging with time, the song is hard. And so are the people being away from God. It's time to grow. But here's what you say. You say the Godfather, man, and Superfly. Them cats will kill. What you telling the farmers on the scene with this weed fucking machine? And them chumps ain't no big deal. Who are you, man? Who are you? And here's what you say. You say there's drug dealing and there's mixing dogs. Man, I'm scared. When you challenge Whitey, you stood firm and mighty. And you won't slap a dope pusher upside his head. Who are you, man? Is your name doctor? Your name lawyer? Your name educator? Who are you? Who are you? Identify yourself, not by what you say, by what you do. Your brother wanna hear from you. Who are you? Come on, cause we wanna know right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Alhamdulillah, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna muhammadan rasulullah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, we're going to make an adjustment. We have a very handsome brother on Facebook and YouTube Live, but we still have one more technical connection that needs to be made, but it won't be made this morning. So therefore, Blog Talk folks, I'm telling you right now, in order to hear Imam Darnell, you're going to have to go on over or add to what's going on. Go to the Facebook, YouTube side. So go to Imam Fahim Shuaib Facebook. You know, we have two Facebook platforms. One is just Fahim Shuaib, and the other is Imam Fahim Shuaib. So go to the Facebook, look for it live, and then also YouTube. Also go to YouTube, because he won't be calling in on the Blog Talk side. So you should be able to, I know that all these phones, the phones have Facebook and YouTube and, you know, laptops, Facebook, YouTube. So go on over there so you can both see and hear Imam Darnell. Well, for now, I'm going to go ahead and keep my phone connected to the Blog Talk side. I don't know what's going to happen on your end, but you know where to go. Go to Facebook or YouTube, and you'll be able to hear Imam Darnell. So hopefully that'll work for us. And now if I have a speaker conflict because I have to get the sound from my computer to hear him, I may wind up dropping off of the Blog Talk. So really don't depend on the Blog Talk for your being connected. I'll give you a few minutes, but I think that there may be an echo or sound feedback conflict if I keep my computer on and stay on Blog Talk. It all work out. It's all good. One more time. Let me see. Maybe Mark has a technical assist. So if there is a technical assist you can give me, I'm gonna pay attention to it. But beyond that, that's the only thing I'm accepting from Blog Talk. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak to you, brother Imam.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Right, you're right. I know the majority of people might not have the vision challenge, and I'm here by myself. So,
I got you.
If
okay.
you, yeah. So, if you could, if it don't work, then you know, alhamdulillah, the majority of people just has to hear, brother, ma'am. You know, let's see how it works. Cause I know last week there was a feedback what you was trying to do. So, I do understand.
Right.
That's all. Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, I'll keep that very much in consideration. Try to work out a way to make both things happen.
Yes, sir.
So we'll just see. It's probably just a logic issue that I haven't figured out yet. So we'll get to it, inshallah. So
okay.
So thank you so much, and you're probably still honeymooning, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, brother.
Yes, assalamualaikum. Yes, brother Mark is visually challenged, so switching up doesn't help him. Okay, so either way, let's move on for right now, and let's just see what happens. Those of you who are you know how you have my text. You know how to text me. You can, you know, hit me with some tips or concerns or what have you throughout the broadcast. And if I can make an adjustment, I will. If not, that's it. But otherwise, let's go. My brother, Imam Darnell Kareem, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How you doing? Okay. All right. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. What do you want to start off with talking to us about today? What do you want to do since we have? I'll open up the comments possible. So if anyone has any comments, questions, et cetera.
Long, too, very long. But have you ever
That the man played golf? I have never heard that. Oh, you got a picture of the man playing golf. Oh, that's precious, man. That's precious. That's...
I got it. Yeah, so he was out there playing golf with the golf association in Chicago.
He had a little, you say he wasn't all that good? Yeah, well, where would he have a chance to get good at golf, right?
Yeah, but that's a very historical picture.
Absolutely.
Doing golf, you know?
Yeah,
it's not too bad, but you know,
uh-huh.
I do it all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, sure, I was right behind him with the other pros, and when I get the first frame, my stick went in the water.
Wow.
I keep talking about it too bad.
Nah.
Yeah.
I always wanted to play golf, and I used to mess around a little bit. Yeah. And brother Imam Joel, who is out of California, Chicago, and Carolina, he's a golfer. There's probably several others. A lot of Florida folks they are golfers too.
There's so much pressure on different things. We don't get a chance
to
do those things. But I didn't realize
the
science
behind it. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It's deep. Yeah. There's this place called Esalen Institute here in the Monterey area that one of the persons who is the founders of it, he has a book called Golf in the Kingdom, where he actually deals with Saudi, you know, the Saudi Arabia and golfing and like that kind of integration of the quote unquote the science and the insider type mentality about it. Content on the book. I want to make sure that let's go ahead and announce the other pieces that we have. We know that this whole segment that we've been doing is based on the book, of course, the book, the first national, move that out of the way, the first national Islamic school system in America. And so that's what these interviews are about. But I know myself, I have the CDs, and I also have, actually have, I think it's VHS. I think I actually have some VHS of the Quran that you worked with Imam Vernon, Rahim al-Ahulay, and Imam Muhammad.
That's a historical moment.
Yeah.
In my life, to see it on the USB here.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very historic moment in my life to sit with such a man and give interpretation of the Quran the way that he does it. It just comes so smooth.
I encourage,
he said in the very beginning of the first juzuk that made the announcement, he said that the immigrants have made their contribution in mm-hmm. recording of the Quran, and he said we should be on the list too.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, what is the content on that? Just give us just like a 1, 2, 3 kind of step of what.
Yeah.
What's on that?
What it is is that I recite, and then Imam Vernon gives translation.
Mm-hmm.
But he uses the use of Ali translation, but with the Imam's input in it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it starts off with saying, in the name of Allah, the merciful. And that's not the merciful. But we started with, of course, with God's name.
Uh-huh.
The merciful, the fact, the merciful, the demon. So that type of language is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And where that certain type of words in there, we kind of change it a little bit so it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
In,
mm-hmm.
in, in, finish it, we do 10 verses, then I recite.
Uh-huh.
And then I recite, and then he translates what I recite,
mm-hmm.
all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We do it, of course, in sections. Jews of 1 and Jews of 2, part 1, part 2, like that.
Mm-hmm.
But after we get through that, then we meet with the imam, and then he gives us his tafsir,
uh-huh.
of that, you
uh-huh.
know. Now, I've had some people make this comment that we're in a studio, and you might hear a phone ring or something within his office.
Uh-huh.
And people might say, well, it should have been, the technology should have been like this, this, this. But you have to realize the era, the times in which we live in.
Mm-hmm.
It was live with this particular man, and the phone was there all of its history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That, you know, that was the time that was, you know, that's...
That was the time that it was.
Yeah.
To show the effort.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do. But he has a message behind it at the end. It's only in when the immigrant Muslims hear this, hear us doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He said it eventually is going to make a major impact in the Muslim world.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
The message would be that we don't need them.
Yeah.
Or that.
Yeah.
Allah is the one who's teaching us. We can do it ourselves.
That's happening right now. That is how, you know, you all demonstrated like we showed. Let me see if I can bring this up. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
And while you think about the fact that I may possibly ask you to do a brief recitation for us, on while you think about that, I'm going to show something else here.
Oh.
There's a lot. I'm just trying to get to this part right
oh,
here. Yeah, yeah. So this right here is the certificate, right? This is our first diploma in Arabic and English that shows the time period of our completion of the class, 1954. This is the Black Man is God period of time. This is the Yaqub's history period of time when we were, you know, the black gods, you
yeah.
know. That, not supposedly, supposedly, and it's true, we were not Sirat al-Mustaqim in the most formal sense, but we were on the Sirat al-Mustaqim in that we were aspiring to get straight. So talk to us about that diploma, what that meant and what that means. In the context,
well,
part of it you've already said.
Yes, okay. It's very important that people have to realize that everything that's in that book is really all of our own history.
Mm-hmm.
It's me there, my wife, Gloria, we were in there, yes, of course. But it's our history.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that this school, it started with in a home with non-degree people, the parents. It started with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we do is history.
Mm-hmm.
This will never happen again.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that something?
It will never happen again, yeah. So it says, when we think what the point I'm making here, it says University of Islam, Jamiat al-Islami at the top there,
uh-huh.
is that when the Elijah Muhammad wanted it in the community, he didn't ask for an Arabic teacher to teach him how to speak Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
He said Quranic Arabic,
uh-huh.
so that we'd be able to know go for ourselves and understand the language of the Quran.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So from that, the Imam had one, Bakr had one, etc. And we all got them, not everyone had them. But
mm-hmm.
I have to let the audience and let them know, we have made history for the first time in America.
Mm-hmm.
An African-American who had lost it all
mm-hmm.
was taught by God, guided by God. So we began to produce our own, but now we're being placed in history.
Yeah. Here's a picture you can see of yourself and Akbar. You say,
yeah, we were reminiscing about the past, you know, and pictures of the ladies on the other side there. It's kind of like a general picture of how we were then.
Uh-huh.
Or if they don't see any jab on them and a whole lot of other things, don't do they get carried away. They practically every day because he wanted to see the pastries go into all the stores.
Uh-huh.
And I got up to about 40-something stores.
Uh-huh.
Where I pastries, and not a lot, but at least I started it.
Uh-huh.
You know? And Sister Clara, as I see her, looking at her right now, is that she didn't know how I didn't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, I'm going to show you how to save.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of what I was saved. But here's the funny part about that. I'm looking at him right now, and this is the way he looked then
mm-hmm.
when he was in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a little younger than that, but still remind me of him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when I come to the house, kind of like draw something from my savings, it wasn't that much.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to see my wife picking up some money. I said, yes, sir. She said, okay, well, she'll be with you in a few minutes, Dad. You can have a seat there and then the room that you first come in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I sit there and she come and bring them money or whatever case may be. But that period of seeing him there,
mm-hmm.
she have to save money. I'm in their house, and I come there like I'm part of the family, of course, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let me play this part in about the saving.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the ma'am, or Wallace, who say, they would slip me up in their room
mm-hmm.
upstairs on the third level, but he moved that, and you're not supposed to have any company at all. So we was up there laughing and talking, and he come up there, if you like, I'm going to come up there to talk to them for a minute. And so they had me in the door. You know, I put my behind the door. And he said, yeah, just come and see how you all are doing. Yeah, Daddy, we're doing all right. So I said, so. Well, okay, then I'll talk to you all later. I said, I'm waiting down there.
Yeah. That I mean, you always lie, and this book brings alive. It's just such it's such a movie, man. It's such a movie. And speaking of which, we want to touch a little bit on chapter 11, which is what we're talking about today. And you know, there's a story in there about Brother Curtis and Viola Kareem, your wife's mother, reminiscing and laying out to you some of the history, especially when the men went to jail. Both the first time and when those who went because of being conscientious objectors. Just tell us something about those interviews in that period. You also did an interview with your brother, asking questions about the character of the imam. Any part of that you want to share?
Yeah, it's okay. Actually, I had I don't know if they found any interest when I said about when I was working for Mr. Baker, but that's another story, but before I get to this, I just have to tell you this real quick.
Uh-huh.
When I had proposed, as Gloria was also working at the house,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't want nobody to wait on him but her when he used to meet with the ministers.
Mm-hmm.
So that was her job after she got out of school. She would be at the house with the other sisters,
mm-hmm.
whatever the case may be. And I'm looking at him right now. And I said, when I just went through a whole lot of proposing to, but I wanted to meet him to get his blessing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the wedding is on, and I got a call at the bakery and said that the message is on the phone. I came to the phone real quick, you know, of course. I'm like, man, son, I looked at the record stand and I see that our business says, and it has decreased here. We didn't hardly make any money this week. So what I'm going to have to do is let you go.
Mm.
So I say, this is the week of the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I say, I wanted to say something else, but I won't say it over there.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm getting married and then you know, I say in the message, this was just my joke, and the messenger fired me. But it was all good at the end, what he did for us.
Okay.
But it was just so bad that I had to get released at the week of get the wedding.
Mm.
But the story goes on in the book that you read about when I told Gloria about it. married and proposed to her with the same type of story that Amalek Muhammad and Sister Clara went about when they eloped. And she climbed out of window and got away and he took off. That's a story in itself.
Yeah.
But back to the men. Back to the time of the men going to jail. And she was given a history. Now that part is the picture is in Chicago.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just putting it up there.
No, it's okay, but they all connected together in terms of these are the same brothers. Well, along with her father, the one that very first one with the microphone, the father, and the man on the far right is Rory's grandfather. So the parts are all of that, even the ones in the middle. But all of that connected together in terms of the men going to kill is that it said the word is out. If you're going to rest, one, you got to take us all. If you're going to rest to live, we're going with it. You know. And when they went, and when they arrested everybody, we filled up the jailhouse. So you know, they got aggravated because there were so many of us in there, and that's how it started in a second. So my mother-in-law, she was explaining about what she had to go through with her children. And Curtis was he was a Shelby second, like Shelby Junior. Her father's name is Shelby. So they was they were going through so many changes to protect the Muhammad family, and this was going on, you know. So her brother Lindsay is the one who, when they were in jail, him and Ephraim Baha, was Ephraim Baha family was named after. He was the one that helped to feed the family while Elijah Muhammad was in jail. So, in prison, eventually. So, what she was given the story of the struggles that they went through and determined to stay together. So, if you take one, it take us all. Well, that's the story that she was more or less given then. And I kind of like, not kind of, I do remember some part of it to me is when... they finally went to the prison in Milan, Michigan, my father, and was in the same cell with Elijah Muhammad, and I rode in a car with them, you know, to go there. That whole time period there, I couldn't remember all the details, but it was very...
Yeah, you were only like 8 years old at the time,
I didn't see him, like, saying the message like we... You know, as we go older and everything, he was just the leader of the community. All. But now that I reflect back on all that, that is something to tell the people today. That how I lived in a time period of all these people, and people have to notice here, this is a very important point, is that when we say going to jail and went to prison, these were all honorable people.
Yeah.
They wasn't born to jail because they was criminals.
Right.
I mean, none of them created crime.
Right.
They all went to jail or the prison, so to speak, and locked up because they was fighting for, of course, for our independence. And we wanted our own school and et cetera or whatever. So, and then the war came, of course, and when they arrested the brothers, these brothers, most of them were no teenagers. Why are they resting in? They're not registered for the army. They was already almost 10 years in.
Yeah, yeah, 40 years old and older.
The main thing is to know when we talk about the time period of them going to prison and being arrested and all like that, none of it was about them creating a crime. It was all about the fight that we wanted our own.
Yeah, independent.
He wasn't going to go through the war.
And I see the picture of let's see, Khalila, with her doctorate certificate. Talk to us about her and Muhammad Ali, what you remember during that period of time when Ali was just coming to the nation and all that.
We came very close to Khalilah. I know her whole story about her life, that there'd be ups and downs and things of that when Muhammad Ali was proposing to her at the bakery and everything. She was a young girl, and Khalilah didn't have the life out in the street in the world. She was a very innocent young lady. And that when they got married, it was a wonderful thing to know about Khalilah's attitude, the champion of the world.
Uh-huh.
But Khalilah was one of them wonderful, like all the rest of the girls that were in school. They didn't have the life of the world.
Uh-huh.
So when she got married to Muhammad Ali, things just changed for her.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the other little thing that was going on that kind of like interfered with the Khalilah that we knew then. You know?
Yeah, so it's not easy. Huh?
No, it isn't, but yeah. She has a Khalilah. And you and people, we know, everybody know her. She had a gift of gab, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a very giving person.
Mm-hmm.
She's always been that way.
Yeah.
And you would never know that she was the wife of the great champion, because when we see her and you see what others, she would just blend in with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So right now is that as moving ahead with this year, of course, they had kids, and she had twins.
Mm-hmm.
And my son had got married to one of the twins.
Oh, okay.
And they have a daughter.
Yeah.
Amira, yeah. So we came a little more closer because now we met Muhammad Ali shared grandparents together. So we're pretty tight with the family for a long time, and we still are.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't know that. Another thing that I learned on reading through chapter 11 is that you and I were born in the same birthday week. Mine is December 8th and yours is December 10th.
December 10th.
There you go. We're definitely together.
From now on, we're going to celebrate the birthday together.
Inshallah.
Another 30 years.
I look forward to it. Let's remind the people, you can purchase Imam Darnell Kareem's book by sending a cashier's check or money order to Post Office Box 1225, Homewood, Illinois, 60430, or Zelle it to $70 to 708-261-4091 after this broadcast. Imam Darnell, there are other products things that you produce to help people get that history, get that knowledge, et cetera. Tell us about those things also.
So there are some books. And a lot of people do have some of my Quran and Garbage books, but because the month of Ramadan, I kind of like push what the Imam said it represents our future here.
Yeah.
And then the 12 Juzus. That we completed with the Imam before he passed away, said it represents the future of our community.
Yeah.
That we want to be on record, just like the immigrants have. And this is a lot on this one little thing here. It's on there. All that's on there. In Arabic and accept it, and the Imam steps here.
Yeah.
And it's only $150, so it's 37 CDs all on that. That's the technology nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I paid more for books, $150. And you have the voice and the tafsir of Imam on the Quran and your recitation. Yeah, man, come on now. Let's go.
What can I say, brother?
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. So this is our future.
Yeah.
This is our future. But here's the point. I wanted to say something about that.
Go ahead.
We ended with chapter 9.
Uh-huh.
And all of chapter 9 covers 12 jewels. So when the man got through talking, he said, I think that's where we'll stop at.
Uh-huh.
Because all the things happened, so we wanted to go to the rest. before the other things happened and he left from this life.
Mm-hmm.
He says, chapter 9, he said, I have given you all enough. What we have done, that you all will be able to go for yourself.
Yeah.
For the rest of the Quran.
Come on now. I've
given you all enough to be 12 units. That's enough for you all to be able to go for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. When you read that chapter real good, I know that's another subject itself. I like to tell you a whole story about that. When we look at it, chapter 9 does not begin with God named the merchant, that's like the merchant redeemer.
Uh-huh.
It has a lot to do with our growth and development in this community.
Allahu Akbar. Yeah, what?
That is a God. It ended right there.
That's right.
You may be able to go for yourself.
Allahu Akbar. Yes, it's a beautiful thing.
Example is there. Example is there. And don't be like me. It's there to help you be better than me.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, you have to be better than me. You can't be. I'm here to, as the man put it, three developments that happen in our school.
Mm-hmm.
The development of learning the Quran. They didn't teach us that.
Mm-hmm.
Allah gave me that voice.
Mm-hmm.
Akbar, he learned to speak Arabic like he was born there.
Uh-huh.
And the man who he is, and the interpretation of the Quran that Allah has given him, the ta'weed, the hidden meaning, he has gifted the man with that. And he said, Allah has done that as an example for the future of our community.
Allahu Akbar. I pray that we really grasp that, hold on to that, understand. Allah has made, talk about independence. We have an independence and autonomy, and like, you know, mashallah, this is no hit on anybody, because we were taught to seek after knowledge. We were taught to seek after knowledge by Elijah Muhammad. We were taught to seek after knowledge by Imam Muhammad. So that people seek after knowledge, that's a good thing. But sometimes we run so fast, you run past the biggest blessing. You already got the biggest blessing. In this time, based on that very legacy, if you're in touch with it, whether you were a part of it before or you got connected after, and you go running for something else because you think that that's where the big light is, you already live with the big light. You've already been lit with the big light, and you need to just go ahead.
We have something to offer the community. As we put it this way, real quick, I can say this.
No, go ahead.
A salat to hide on men and known.
Yeah.
I think it says we are known as the sleepers.
Yeah.
The sleepers, in fact, the scripture makes it about the sleepers at night or day or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It says that's a call. Well, it represents that we have a mission out here, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Prayer is better than sleep. We are meant to sleep on the gift that God has given us.
Yeah, it's true.
Allah is telling us to wake up.
Yeah.
And be tayyad and talash.
Uh-huh.
Come with life in you to be the main developer in society.
Come on, man. Come on now. That's it. So we just gonna keep pumping it till we die, and then after that, what can you say, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let me ask you this question. Somebody's asking a question about how do we get the drive that Imam Darmiel is offering. Okay, that's just $150. It's like $150 to the same number. You can Zelle it to 708-261-4091 or send cashier's check or money order to Post Office Box 1225, Homewood, Illinois, 60430. But either way, Zelle to 708-261-4091. You'll be able to get that. You, in the notes, you can just put in your address and everything, and you know he'll get it right to you. Imam Darmiel, we're gonna close out. excuse me. Any last words from you, sir?
The word for me is this: is that we have to say is that there is a spirit out here,
mm-hmm.
a spirit out here that. Making sure that we don't go any further.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I would say hold on to what God has given us,
mm-hmm.
because God has chosen us to be the leaders in society. And the Holy Light Muhammad made the dua when he did the Umrah.
Mm-hmm.
He prayed to Allah that we be the among the learned in society.
Mm.
So, brothers and sisters, I encourage you, don't overlook what God has given to us.
Mm-hmm.
And he has not carried us through all this journey from W.D. Farage to Elijah to Imam Muhammad to nothing.
Yeah.
Where it says that we will be, that Allah has made us the Ummatul Wusta, the balanced community, the balanced community that will be the that will be the witnesses for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prophet Muhammad will be the witness for us.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean when he said we are the witness and Prophet Muhammad be the witness? Meaning that he's saying to us that if we want to follow Prophet Muhammad, then we have to live the life that become established, and every effort that we make, that we become the model community, but we have to make that effort.
Mm-hmm.
And the witnesses is to be make the effort and don't sleep on it or anything, to know that we, that Allah is working with us to be the community that he has worked with us for all these many years to be the model.
Mm-hmm.
So don't go to sleep on that and try to blend in with others.
Right.
The relationship complete.
Yeah. There is a question. What do you remember about fasting before, when we first started fasting Ramadan as we do now? What do you remember about the first time and before regarding Ramadan?
Also, what I remember by that, I believe that the Imam had put it too. I think we were fasting the month of December on purpose. It was a preparation period for our life.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It was a preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can prepare what we see today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we see. It. But it's a lot of story to breaking the fast during that time. We wasn't doing the five prayers and accepting all like that. We was making dua and etc.
Yeah.
But it was a time period. Oh, I have that book too. My father don't have it before me. The Holy Quran that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught. From the, that during the time that they were in prison, and he gave the story on how they were being taught about Ramadan, even during that period of time.
Yeah.
Preparation, the period of time that we live.
Yeah.
And we thank Allah for that time period.
Yeah.
So we're ready for it now.
You got the telephone, huh? I'm remembering 1976 as being like the first time we actually did Ramadan. No, 76. The first time we did iftar. Well, you can say iftar, but Ramadan. I think that's about the time, because that's one of the questions. You know, when was fasting introduced? Do you remember anything beyond?
You were in the period of time when we first started?
Yeah, doing it the way we do it now, you know, according to Al-Islam.
Oh, you know, everything started in 1976.
Yeah, okay.
It all started, and just to ask that question, very similar to that, when did we start doing our five prayers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's visibly and nationally.
Yeah.
It was all done between 1976 and 78.
Uh-huh.
It all became established in America.
Yeah.
But when it actually started, when the Imam made an announcement, he said, we're now going to have a Juma prayer. And that was October 1st, 1976 in Chicago.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, it's beautiful.
All started then. Then we became more conscious about our prayers. And he put me in the newspaper here. I think I have it here. Where that they had me to give the demonstration pictures of how to do the prayer here.
Uh-huh.
Remember this?
Yes. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
It's dated October 1st, 1977.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, that's when everybody was fresh.
Yeah, it was fresh.
Doing everything.
Allahu Akbar.
Actually, the prayer that you know actually started being introduced in 1957.
Yeah, I had the book, mashallah. I lost it, man.
I had it, man. But,
Yeah.
What's so significant about that, you don't see W.D. Fried in that book nowhere.
No.
So that's when it was really introduced. But where was it trained at? It was trained when we was having classes in 1950.
Yeah.
When we was having our classes, that's actually where it really started with us, with the students.
Yeah.
Learning to do this prayer.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, powerful seeds were planted and they were growing all the time, all the time.
Powerful seed. That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I think about that, Imam Shuai, I was thinking about it this morning, just reflecting. I said, it doesn't sound like that I lived all that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to witness all that back then, and we're here today.
Yeah.
And I said, Dory, you know, I think Allah was here for a purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all of them are gone, so to speak, of this life.
Yeah.
But we're here.
Yeah.
And I think that by the choice of God, that what I'm doing right now, I have to do it.
Alhamdulillah, and I'm glad to be a part of it. We're going to have to go. Alhamdulillah, it's a pleasure. It's wonderful seeing your face and hearing your voice. Next week, you're going to recite for us, okay? So be ready.
Yeah.
Be ready.
I got some chapters. If anything, next week, I want to recite the chapter with Duha.
Uh-huh.
But I want to take my time with it and give the meaning.
All right.
So that's our chapter for the community. Chapter 93.
All right.
The Morning Glory Light.
All right. Well, let's do it. All right. Inshallah.
That's the one that Elijah Muhammad requested for me to come up there and recite on stage today.
Uh-huh.
And he told me that he was crying.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So we have much to look forward to. Alhamdulillah. So inshallah, next week, thank you. It's been a wonderful time seeing your face, hearing your voice, and getting more of this rich history of our original independence and legacy. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I'll pray to Allah. I appreciate it. Oh, at the end, this thing is real quick.
Uh-huh.
I don't know to order. I don't know if they have it, but you probably got it. The one of me and the man was taking on at the E.
I've heard it. I couldn't put my hands on it right now.
They'll get that free with the order and plus announcements that are made about Ramadan itself.
Okay. All right.
And the last one is, don't forget the E song.
Yeah, we got to get that E song, man, for sure. You need to do a recording of that, bro, so we can...
Look at this here,
quick. Okay.
I'm excited.
Go ahead.
The E song, this is, wait a minute, that's us singing it.
Oh, wow.
My father's in the background playing the clarinet.
Uh-huh.
And another brother in the back door, he was playing the violin.
Right.
And we're up there singing, and we got on the air clothes there.
Come on now. All right, cool. So, see, that's another book. All that is another book, man. So, inshallah, we'll get to it. That's a whole museum-worthy setup there. So, may Allah bless us to make that happen.
Yeah. I got this kid in the background.
The keyboards. The keyboards, yeah. Well, you know what to do with that? You know what to do with that?
Well, I used to, but I'm back on practice. I'm going to get the board.
All right. We out. Alhamdulillah. Everybody have a wonderful day. Ramadan Mubarak. May Allah accept it from us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you all so much.
Alhamdulillah.